Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another great episode of Off the Pipes here. I'm Michael Schulley. Alongside me, Greg Sutton. Greg, what do we got to talk about today?
Well, as per usual, we're probably going to talk about the men's hockey team because that's what we're here to do, Mike. And along with that, we're going to talk about this past weekend and how they fared on the 16th and 17th on the road or at home the first on Friday and then on the road on Saturday. And then we're also going to talk about the upcoming weekend, this being a family weekend here at Robert Morris against Air Force, two home games. And then like we have been for the past couple episodes, we're probably going to talk about their playoff contention.
Excuse me. Certainly, Greg. And of course, those two games on the 16th and 17th. Robert Morris, they needed some wins. Unfortunately, they lost both games, the first of which a 2-1 loss at home here at the Colonial Arena at the famous Island Sports Center. And then the second up in Erie, Pennsylvania, they fell to the Lakers by a score of 3-2 in overtime. That makes it 4 in a row, Greg, that they have lost.
And these past four are really, really essential games that they needed to win at least two out of the four. They're really dropping in the point standings right now. Mercyhurst, they're a good team. They're up towards the top of the AHC this season, but they're currently like just they. Robert Morris needs to take one out of this weekend at least, and they weren't able to do that. Dropping the first game, as you said, 2-1 to the Lakers. Just not a great showing in that first game from the Colonials. The penalty troubles that they had the week before versus RIT kind of carried over into this week. Mercyhurst scored their second goal in the first period on a power play and just continued to plague Robert Morris this past weekend.
Certainly, Greg, and now if we take a look at the AHC standings, you can see that the Mercyhurst Lakers are standing alone atop the conference with 32 points as Canisius has lost three in a row. They are in second place with 30 points. Holy Cross is in third place with 28 points, and Robert Morris is way down in 6th place with just 26 points, tied with a tiebreaker in hand over Army. And there are some teams that aren't too far behind them, the bottom place team. Sacred Heart, who we thought had no chance in this thing, is just 4 points behind the Colonials, so even they could draw even with RMU at the end of the weekend if Air Force, who is now 1 point above the Colonials, is able to knock off the Colonials twice this weekend.
Yeah, and points are really big this time of year. And RIT made a big jump in the past 2 weeks. Whenever they came into the weekend against Robert Morris here in Moon Township, they were, I think, around 19 points, I think it was. And they picked up, I think it's five straight games now, or four or five wins, and now they've bumped up past Robert Morris. Right at the end of last week, they were a point behind, and now they're a point ahead. So it just goes to show how quick things can change around, and they certainly have in the AHC.
Certainly, Greg, they went from ninth place in the AHC to fourth place with 27 points. And second place is in striking distance. They're out of first. They cannot reach first place left unless they have extra games left besides the to this final weekend like the Colonials have. But we talked about this last week. One of the big things was worst case scenario for RMU. Let's say Air Force wins both games and all that. We lose both games. It happened, which is surprising to me because Canisius was in first place at the time. But they got leapfrogged by quite a few teams.
In a quick succession also that Mike, they were up by a couple points on both of these teams, and now they're down by a point on both of these teams, and they were in striking distance of Mercyhurst in the past 2 weeks, and they weren't able to capitalize on the opportunities that they had. So now Mercyhurst is running away from Robert Morris, well, 6 points ahead of them. And Canisius and Holy Cross are about the only two teams, in my opinion, that have a chance in this last week of AHC play to kind of try and jump towards Mercyhurst in that first place position.
Definitely. And for the Colonials, at 26 points, the best they could do is hop up. Best case scenario, of course, would be to tie Canisius with 30 points. Other than that, they don't have much of a shot.
And it's not just an opportunity this weekend for Mercyhurst to clinch the AHC standings-wise. It's also a chance for RIT to kind of bounce themselves back up into a place where they can strike at Mercyhurst. RIT plays them this weekend in their home stadium up in Rochester. So it's going to be a big weekend for not only Colonials but also Mercyhurst and RIT.
All right. Now we're going to take a
quick break, and when we come back, we're going to jump into break down these this past weekend for Robert Morris Hockey a little bit more and talk about the AHC playoffs coming up soon.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back here to the Off the Pipes. Matt Simkovic has joined us here now for this segment. Matt, what are your thoughts on the state of the Robert Morris men's hockey team as it stands right now, with them being in sixth place, losing four in a row now, two to RIT and two to the Mercyhurst Lakers?
I feel like this is going to be a really big weekend for them. They face off against Air Force, the team that beat us in the AHC finals last year. Air Force was the biggest hurdle there. If we would have won that series, we would have gotten our ticket punched to go to the Frozen Four for the first time in program history. I feel like this weekend is really key, just because they can either roll into the playoffs beating the team that eliminated them last year, or they can roll in off a six-game losing streak. Even if they split, I still wouldn't be satisfied, let's put it that way. I would not. Right now, they're not in a good spot. They're on a four-game losing streak. They're losing tough games, but games that they should be winning. And honestly, it's making their playoff picture look a little bit more grainy. I'm not really seeing what their game plan is going into this.
You're completely right, Matt. Out of the four games that they have lost, three of them have been by just one goal. And, of course, the overtime loss last Saturday at Mercyhurst. And the only outlier was that second game against RIT, where they got smoked 6-2 in a game where the team really was vulnerable and became unraveled.
But, you know, something to look at here is, if you're looking at the points, Mercyhurst has 32, Canisius has 30, Holy Cross has 28, RIT and Air Force are both tied at 27, and we have 26. So I know you guys talked about this earlier when I was here, but that's just something to keep in mind. They're only realistically two good games away from second place.
And in reality, yeah, that's a very possible thing. But with the team that we've seen the past 2 weeks, Matt, it's a very distant reality at this point. They've dropped the past four against RIT that was in ninth place 2 weeks ago when we faced off against them here, wherever Robert Morris faced off against them down there at the Allen Sports Center. And now RIT sits in a pretty fourth place, tied with our Air Force above Robert Morris. So as Robert Morris is slowly starting to realize, their reality has come crumbling down in front of them, and their chances at a good place in the AHC and maybe even into the Frozen Four, like they had a shot at last year, is slowly starting to crumble at their feet.
Yeah, I'm definitely, like I said, not happy with the way that they're playing. They're not playing bad hockey. They're just not playing to the level where we've seen them play before, which is really confusing for I mean me personally, because like we've seen them in earlier in the season, like whenever in the Three Rivers Classic they played Providence in the championship, they lost by one goal to Providence, a nationally ranked team. And I don't understand how a team that can drop by one goal to the number 11th team in the country just lost four games in a row against Mercyhurst and RIT. I don't get it. I'm very worried for them and how their playoffs look.
I think honestly the scarier of these two matchups is the RIT matchup. I mean,
yeah.
They played really good hockey this past weekend against Mercyhurst, the leader in the AHC right now. But the weekend before, they were playing the ninth seed. They were sitting pretty in third or fourth place.
They were in fourth.
And they were playing a nine seed at home with home ice advantage.
Well, RIT was the only team that has swept us this season. We've won against every other team in the Atlantic Hockey Conference, but RIT has beat us all four times we've seen them this season.
And I think it's one of those things where the Tigers really have the Colonials number, because even in the game that was the 3-4 loss, that game really didn't seem all that close up until the end, where the Colonials added two goals in the third period there. Other than that, they got beat. Let's just put it that way. The size and speed of RIT was just too much for the Colonials. They lost the battles in the corner. They lost races to the puck.
They just got outworked.
That really decides the hockey game.
They got outworked. You're absolutely right. When I was watching those games, I was pretty disappointed, would be one of the only words that comes to mind. Is that, I mean, like I said, we've seen this team play good hockey, and now they're just not. I don't know what happened, but this weekend is either going to be really good and we're going to see them turn it around and full steam ahead into the playoffs, or we're going to see them even split or drop two more. And honestly, morale, like whenever you're going into a playoff scenario and you're coming off a six-game losing streak, no one in the locker room feels good about it. No one in the locker, like, it's not good. You can't be doing that. And I don't understand. What do you think, Mike, they need to do to beat Air Force? What were some things that you would like to see them really work on in these two games?
Well, I think they could use these two games and treat them, all right, and sit down and look at themselves in the locker room and say, all right, the playoffs start now. Okay, they have these two games against Air Force to really fine-tune some things. I'd love to see them sit down and say, all right, here, we're going to play lockdown defense this series. We're going to shut this team down. We're not going to let them get easy shots on goal. We're going to limit their shots on goal. I'd like to see them hold Air Force to less than really 25 shots a game. They're allowing like close to or over 30 shots a game, which is way too much. That's a lot on Pickle or Marat, who's ever in goal that night. And really, against Mercyhurst in that second game, if I'm correct, the Mercyhurst goalies made a ridiculous amount of saves. So with that being said, I think they need obviously put the puck in the net. Find a way to get the puck in, whether it's off the rush or setting up in the zone, getting traffic in front of the net and getting shots through. But I honestly think the biggest problem for this team has been the whole season. It's the defense. And now they're kind of developing.
I wouldn't say defense. I would say defensive zone.
Yes,
I wouldn't say it's just the defense. I would say it's the whole defensive zone play.
Exactly. The back checking hasn't been good on the rush.
The only good thing about the defensive zone have been goalies. Marat's been standing on his head
I wouldn't say that.
But through the season, Marat has been a pretty good goaltender for the Colonials.
Not compared to last season. Last season he gave up around two goals a game. That's over now, I believe, almost 2.5, pushing three, like somewhere in that range.
It is. It's pushing three. It's like 2.75 around there.
So, I mean, I don't think he has been as sharp, but I also think that play can be attributed to the poor defensive zone play by the Colonials.
I mean, there's only so much you can do when you're in net. Think about the Penn State game when Penn State had at PPG when Penn State had over 50 shots.
And it was odd man rush.
Exactly. It was odd man rush after odd man rush. Anytime they got the puck on the net. I feel like he's been, at the end of the day, there's only so much a goalie can do. And whenever he's facing an average, if we can get an average of his shots that he's faced, it's just not, I don't know, there's only so much he can do. And I feel like they're really kind of pushing him. And I feel like he's kind of not shying away. But whenever he's facing high shot counts, he's going to let in high goals.
I mean,
they
exactly.
go hand in hand.
Some of the goals he's let in, I'm sure he'd like to have back. I remember one against RIT that I remember him allowing, and he got beat by a wrister that it wasn't a particularly hard shot. It wasn't a particularly well aimed shot. It just beat him, and I saw him kind of like look up like, and you know he wanted that one back. And here we go. Now they're pulling up those shots per game, and the opponent is averaging here. And checking the shot sheet. There we go. The power play is allowing 13 shots.
Shorthanded shots, or is that shots that
they're on the penalty kill? And I think this has become a real problem, especially due to the fact that they're really just we've seen them take a lot of penalties lately.
Yeah, that's another thing that I was going to mention is that you can't win games 5-on-4. To put it lightly, you can't win games 5-on-4. And that's what they're doing. They're trying to play games 5-on-4, and I don't understand it. They're not taking like good penalties. Like, it's not like they get a guy on like a breakaway, or it's not like they're weak calls. Like, they are deserving calls. Like, they're just making bad plays, and it's coming back to bite them.
And that first game against Mercyhurst this past weekend, that was the dagger or the nail in the coffin for the Colonials. It was who took the penalty here? Robert Powers took a 2-minute minor for hooking late in the period, and Mercyhurst was just able to capitalize on it 59 seconds into it, and that was the second goal up. And Michael Loria tried trying to bounce back for the Colonials, tried to get him back into the game, which he did, and put the score 2-1 in the second. But that power play for the Mercyhurst Lakers was a deciding factor in that game. And then, as we've seen in the second game against RIT, that was also a deciding factor. They took a lot of penalties, and that gave RIT Tigers a lot of time to move around in the offensive zone and put pucks in the net. So they have to clean up their penalty taking if they want a chance, not only in the AHC tournament, but also at the Frozen Four, like you said earlier, Matt.
But I think one thing that's extremely positive to take out of that Mercyhurst weekend that just happened was that second game where they lost in overtime. Andrew Pickle made 23 saves. However, Brandon Wildung of the Mercyhurst Lakers made 37 saves. I mean, that's not going to happen every game. However, if you run into a hot goalie, which is going to happen, which how many times in hockey have we seen a hot goalie just
way
come in and
many.
Take over the playoffs? And that's something that could happen. Maybe Marat or Pickle, whoever Schooley has in net, could catch fire and kind of really kind of carry the team defensively. But you got to really bear down tough in those games and keep pressing on offense. And you know what? I'm sure they would have eventually got a goal. You know, but unfortunately, in overtime, the Lakers beat them to the punch.
Yeah, and that is unfortunate, Mike. But they knew going into this game that Mercyhurst was a hot team. At this point in time, they knew that they were at the top of the standings. They knew themselves. They just dropped two games versus RIT. So Robert Morris knew coming into this game they had to play their best game as they could. And I'd imagine that they tried their hardest out there, but it wasn't enough. And in order for them to become the championship team that we all know that they can be, they have to kind of clean up a couple of things real quick here, like such as the penalty taking that's kind of hurt them the past couple of weeks, but also the defensive side, and they also need to try to keep as many shots away from their goaltenders, whether that be Pickle or Marat, as they can.
Yeah, I feel like that's a big thing that is kind of overlooked, is they really need to, like Mike said, limit the defensive zone, limit the quality of the shots that come out, and they really need to just lock down their defensive zone, because it's something that's lacked all season long. And I feel like Mike made a really good point at that.
All right. Question for you guys. What do the Colonials need to do to win the championship, to win the AHC?
At this point,
a lot.
I wouldn't say a lot, Matt. There's a couple of things that they need to work on a lot for next season.
Let me rephrase. What needs to happen in the playoffs going forward for this team to win? I'm going to start off by saying, hopefully they don't run into the RIT Tigers. Yeah. I like them in a matchup against most teams.
Well, the thing is with this, it's not in the playoffs. Something needs to happen this weekend at home against Air Force.
You don't want to change something up first round of playoffs.
That's that something needs to be worked on this weekend, well, this week in practice, and then they need to carry that into this weekend of play and make sure it works before they try tweaking a couple other things. But one of those things definitely has to be their transition game. Right now, they're being beat in the neutral zone, where RIT was able to get to the neutral zone and push the puck down low and use their physical game against Robert Morris to work the puck to the middle and get the puck into the back of the net. Where that's one thing that needs to be worked on, and that's what goes but back to the whole defensive zone thing.
That's a thing from earlier, where if you remember the first episode that I was on, their transition at that point in time was good. They used to be solid. They used to be able to get the puck out, make quick passes, jump up, get rushes, and go grind in the offensive zone. Against, now, not against RIT, not against the top team in the AHC Mercyhurst, but against teams that they would be playing, they used to be able to do that. And now that's something that, I don't know what happened, but it's changed.
I think you
can
attribute that to winning those battles and scrums in the corner, getting the puck out, and then getting it out of your defensive end cleanly. And when you're unable to do that, when the puck comes into the neutral zone and your guy's trying to pick up a bouncing puck and might have to hesitate a little bit to pick up the puck, settle the puck down, and make a clean pass, you can't get on your rush as fast. That gives the defense time to get back. The back checkers have more time to apply pressure, and it really messes up your forecheck. And I think when that happens, it really limits a team like Robert Morris, who's really kind of built for speed, built to go out there and beat you on the rush. I mean, they could certainly get it done in the zone, but I think when you really struggle on the rush, I mean, how many penalties are drawn on the rush too? A trip, a hook, a slash, something along those lines. And when your rush is struggling, like it has been the past few games, I think that's where a lot of the other problems culminate.
Yeah, I can definitely understand that. The only thing that I could say is I would like to see them – I would like to see more depth in their roster. They're scoring, yes, but a majority of the scoring is done by our top two lines. One player that's really stepped up his game that I would like to acknowledge, Rob Powers. Before this season, his career high was he had 3 points his junior year. 3 points. This year, he's at the top on their second power play unit at the top of the umbrella, and he's moving the pucks. He has 11 points this year. That's something that's really, while it's not 11 points, you don't see 11 points. You're like, whoa, 11 points, but you see 11 from three, and you see how he's played. And I feel like as in his senior year, I feel like he's really developed and given a little bit more depth to the roster, but I would still like to see a lot more.
Well, I mean, that 11 points, that's a solid contribution from a defenseman, especially someone, like you said, who really in the past hasn't been like one of the team's top contributors. So I think if I'm Coach Schooley, I'm quite satisfied with the 11 points out of Powers.
I would be too. That's what I'm trying to say here, is that I would without a doubt acknowledge that and just say that, you know, it's not that he's not doing his part, it's just that there's other guys that I would like to see make that jump from a 3-point season to an 11-point season. Imagine if you had some of the other people on that team getting a solid 11 points, you know? Where's Sean Giles been? Nick Jenny's a freshman this year. He played really well in the Three Rivers Classic, but
I'm really thinking at this point in the year, you have to look at what they can do going into the playoffs to make themselves a deep playoff run. But at this point in the year, with the way they've been playing, you also have to think into the future, next year, the season coming. And what I'm seeing right now is, as a freshman, Matthew Grant. I'm a big fan of Matthew Grant. He's a good, like, he plays physical, but he also knows how to play the rush.
He's a sophomore, by the way.
I was going to start to say, as a freshman, he contributed a little bit and kind of got his feet wet enough to realize what he was playing in NCAA play, how physical it was and how fast it was. But this year, I feel like he's actually picked up his game a little more. He has a couple goals. He's had a couple assists in that second game versus Mercyhurst. He had the assist on the Luke Lynch goal. So I feel like looking into the future, instead of looking into this postseason, I'm saying looking into the future, Matthew Graham is going to be one of those people to be able to step up and contribute next season and maybe help them make that push that they need to make.
Well, I kind of agree with you with Graham and his points. He had 10 points last year in 32 games, and he currently has, where is he at on this list here, 11 points in just 23 games this year. I disagree. You don't look towards next year. You have...
I wouldn't look towards next year yet.
You're in win now mode. You have Brady Ferguson, who's still one of the best players in the NCAA. And I think one of the big issues with the team, I wouldn't say point the finger at him, but he had 58 points last year in 38 games. Through 32 this year, he only has 38. So that's 20 points in just four games, and I highly doubt in four more games this season he's gonna average 5 points a game.
But Mike, you also have to look at who was on the ice with him last year. Rob Mann, the captain of the team last year, the big defenseman, he was on the ice. He was a big contributor for the team.
A defenseman?
If you look at your defensive points.
However, they were contributing. Not necessarily Rob Mann. I may have overstepped that boundary. But there were people on that team that had so many assists last year.
You're missing this kid named Daniel Lovins, who was second on the team in
points.
That's
who I was thinking.
49.
That's the one. But that's what I'm saying.
Rob Mann had 12
points last
year.
Yeah, Ferguson thrived last year through his 38 games, had 24 goals. But you also had Daniel Lovins there, who had 35 assists on the season. We're lacking that person that has that many, like the person that contributes.
Are you saying to put it into more open basketball things? We have a Jordan, we just don't have a Scottie Pippen to set him up for the goals.
Is that what you're saying? There's nobody contributing on the assist side. While Ferguson may be going out there and trying to score the goals that he is, there's nobody behind him trying to get him the puck in the offensive zone. In order for Brady to be able to put it in the back of the net, is what I'm trying to say. I may have gotten wrong about way, use a couple wrong names and terms, but that's what I'm trying to get at. Is we're missing the Daniel Levins, the Brady Ferguson is missing the Daniel Levins, and the connection isn't there, and they're just not being able to capitalize on the opportunities like they were last year.
Well, I mean, you have a player who's obviously different from Daniel Levins. Levins is a bigger, more physical player, but I think Michael Loria could really. If you need a player to really step up and really start feeding the puck to Ferguson, I mean, Ferguson himself last year had 34 assists. But if you really need a guy to step up and start feeding the puck, I think you look towards Michael Loria, who's a smaller, shiftier player, but I think he could get the job done in the offensive end, facilitating offense and being a catalyst.
Another person to look out for, I would definitely say junior Eric Israel. Him and his current D pair, Elias Gontus, they do a really good job at playing aggressive defense. While it's not always locked down and they're not always the best, but they've proven to be two-way players, both of them. Gonchus has been defensively sound up until this past weekend against Mercyhurst. He was a plus 10. He was only beaten in plus minus by Luke Lynch, meaning he's been out on the ice for more than 10 Colonial goals than opponent goals. He's a plus 10 on the season so far. His partner, Israel, currently has 19 points, 15 of which are assists. And before this weekend against Mercyhurst, 6 of those points were in the last 5 games played. And he registered 60 block shots this season, over 60. So that's something where I would definitely watch out for Israel. Right now, he's at 20 points almost. 15 assists and 60 plus blocks on the season.
Israel has 19 points, but his offensive production has actually taken a step backwards. He had 31 points last year with 8 goals and 23 assists. But I think he's another player on the defensive end that needs to be able to step up. However,
that's what I was saying.
If you want to bring in Rob Mann, he doesn't necessarily have the defensive freedom that he had with playing like with a man. Gontus isn't that type of player. Maybe I know Bontier's been out for a while. Maybe he could come back and kind of fill in that role of letting Israel kind of freewheel, knowing that he has that solid defenseman behind him. But I don't know if Gontus at this point in time is that guy that can really is that. I'm not saying that Gontus isn't dependable, but he's not as dependable, I would say.
Yeah, and another thing you had mentioned penalty kills earlier, and I couldn't find the stat, but I just pulled it up. But they're statistically the second-to-worst team in the AHC when shorthanded. They also average 10 minutes in penalties per game. So when you have a horrible penalty kill, and you know that that's proven, and you're taking 5 penalties a game, those two numbers don't match up. It spells nothing but death for the Colonials.
I mean, you hit the nail right on the head there.
To get back to the original question that you asked, Mike, I would work on discipline. They can't be taking penalties. You can't win games shorthanded. Second worst penalty team in the AHC, and they're the second most in conference penalized with 10 minutes a game. You can't do that.
All right, guys. I think we covered our bases here today. Sorry to cut you off, Matt.
Way to cut me off, man. We're gonna
wrap this up real quick. So just in conclusion, the Colonials need to work on their game a little bit before this weekend, kind of hop into this weekend, play their best game that they can.
this weekend's going to make or break the Colonials postseason.
As we said about the last two weekends.
Well, yeah, but
this is do or die this time. So, in conclusion, they have to play their game.
I don't feel that they can make too drastic of a leap up or down the table, but...
But they have to play their game this weekend and kind of force that into their postseason play. And we're going to have to wait and see till next week to see what's going on with the Colonials, see if they do what they need to do this weekend and carry that over to the AHC tournament. But as usual, thank you for listening to Off the Pipes. For Matt Simkovic and Michael Shuley, I'm Greg Sutton, and have a great night.